Join me now to talk all things basketball, play-in, the playoffs, everything in between. Huge fan of VSiN. That's VSIN.com. And he's the host of VSiN Primetime, the first 24/7 all sports betting network. It is Jonathan Von Tobel. Jonathan, it's been ages. Thanks for doing the show today.
Yeah, of course, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's start here before we get into specific games or bets or props or anything like that. If the Pelicans lose tomorrow night, they're the first team in NBA history to win 49 games and not make the playoffs. 49 games gets you a 3 seed in the East. Like, this feels like peak Kobe Shaq days of the Lakers, where the gap between the East and the West is almost embarrassing.
Yeah, you know, it does a little bit, right? Especially the bottom of the conference. You know, at the top, there's obviously some really good talented teams, but once you get to, and I mean, I think you could kind of start around Milwaukee, maybe number four there, but once you get around there, it starts to fall off. Now, it doesn't help that Joel Embiid got hurt, right? That looked like a team that was really pushing for a ton of wins this season. He falls off, so does their record. But for the most part, to your point, like if you measure them just by their play-in teams alone, right? Like the play-in teams in the West seem massively more dangerous than any of the playoff teams in the East outside of Philadelphia. So I would agree with that sentiment overall. Like, there is much more depth to the Western Conference. It's why Boston, on top of being such a dominant team, is an odds-on favorite to make it out of the Eastern Conference, and frankly, should make it out of the Eastern Conference, considering the way it falls for them right now. Anything less than a finals berth is probably a massive failure of a season for Boston, mainly because of the way that conference is constituted.
Well, let's stick with injuries and stick with the East. What are they saying right now about Joel Embiid, who, you know, had a strong fourth quarter, but you're right, like, you know, took a fall, seemed to be moving around a little bit gingerly. Like, what should be the proper expectations of the health of Joel Embiid?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's just going to, like, power through this thing. Yeah. You know, and whether or not he's 100%, you know, healthy, whatever it is. I mean, I guess nobody really is 100% healthy when it comes to this point of the year. But he said after the game, you know, quote, hopefully everything gets better. We'll just keep monitoring it. So it sounds like this is just going to be a thing for him. It's weird because in the regular season, didn't really look that bad. But once that intensity and that physicality ratcheted up, and that was a postseason game, right? They're the play-in, but it's a playoff game. It's win or go home, essentially. And they looked like that really wore on him down the stretch. Now, you won't play as many physical teams as many good and great defensive teams in the big picture, but your first round's against the New York Knicks, who are pretty darn good and pretty great in terms of what they want to do defensively as well. So if you make it past this, you're hoping it's Indiana on the other side. But for the most part, I think you are at least a little worried that he's not going to be able to be fully healthy. Because the other part, too, was when you watched him play defense, he's not like a dynamic perimeter defender by any stretch. He was just standing in the paint. Like, he wasn't even dropping. He was playing so far off that he was just allowing these guys to come off of these screens with all this space. You know, Brunson's going to kill you in that regard if you're going to play that far off. So it's going to be pretty fascinating to see how he looks defensively as you move forward in this series against the Knicks.
And then the team that lost to Philadelphia, Jimmy Butler as well. Is there any updates on his injury? Feared to have suffered an MCL injury, but that was in the first, and the guy still played 40 minutes, so he was gutting it out as well.
He was, but if you watched, I mean, like, there was multiple possessions where he was not moving at all. He was just standing in the corner, not doing anything. It's a testament to him how he just sat out there. But we got the report a few hours ago. He's expected to miss several weeks. Mm-hmm. He's going to be pretty much done here. And they have played with more starting lineups than anybody in the NBA, right? So they have been used to playing without Jimmy Butler, playing without Bam, all these guys. But at the end of the day, when we have seen this team make these runs that everybody keeps pointing to, the center of all of that was Jimmy Butler and his ability to play in the postseason. Without him, it's very hard to think that they are going to make any sort of run or push Boston in any sort of way if they even beat Chicago in the secondary play-in that we're going to see on Friday. So I would expect them to be able to beat Chicago. They are slightly favored. But big picture-wise, I'm not sure if I expect much from this team as we move forward if they make it into the postseason.
No, because we saw heroic moments from Jimmy Butler against Milwaukee, against Boston in the playoffs last year. And I don't think anyone else on the team, there's very good players on the team, but not guys that can be hero playoff offensive players. If what you're saying, yeah, I think it's they survive maybe a week and a half longer and lose in five to Boston. It seems to be the best case scenario for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I mean, look, you saw, and by the way, you saw that in the second half. I mean, like, they had nothing really offensively. The reason why they built such a big lead is because in the first half, 76ers kept coughing the ball up.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, in the second half, when you don't really get that much offensive production, you're not getting Jimmy Butler to get to the free throw line, where you're relying heavily on Tyler Hero. It really just kind of fell apart offensively. It's a big reason why Philly was able to get back into that game and ultimately win it. That and Nick Batum.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, you know, Nick, but the old expression, you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him with a career playoff high of 20 points. All right, let's go to the more fun part of things, the West. And I heard that that Kawhi Leonard is good to go for game one. Clippers, Mavericks. Fair to say that is, if someone had to watch only one playoff first round, that would be the one to watch?
Yeah, I think so. And look, I fully will admit my bias here.
Do it.
But I think that because I am a Clippers fan, you know, I grew up as a Clippers fan. And like, this is the team that, you know, I always get made fun of, right? I make two bets every year. It's under 4.5 quarterbacks in the NFL draft, and it's the Clippers to win the finals. And one of those things comes through every year. But the Clippers, I think, are being severely undervalued here in this series. And we're starting to see the market. You know, you mentioned it just about 30 minutes ago. So, excuse me, Sean Sharania reports that he's going to be available for game one. We're starting to see the market kind of dip back to, like, pick. And the Clippers are probably going to close as game one favorites here against the Dallas Mavericks. But to be underdogs in this series and to have a solid plus price next to that name, right? It's not even just like minus 105. They're about plus 105, plus 110 in this series. It's understandable if you like Dallas, right? They end the season on a high note. They've changed their starting lineup. It's got an incredible net rating when they're on the floor together. Daniel Gafford and P.J. Washington fit very nicely with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. But the market, I think, is severely underrating, one, what playoff Kawhi Leonard is. We saw him in game one of that series against Phoenix last year.
Yes.
Everybody thought that Clippers team was going to get swept. And the Suns got lucky that Kawhi Leonard got hurt, because he went in there. He absolutely bottled up Kevin Durant. They went and won game one, but he tears his meniscus in that game, and they end up, of course, losing that series in five. That looked like it was going to be a series that goes in the Clippers' favor. And by the way, they didn't have Paul George in that series, right? He got hurt as well. So when you look at this team now, with both of those guys readily available, with Paul George in his last eight games, very quietly averaging 25-5 on over 50% shooting from the floor and from three-point range, you know, Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, you just do the math. One of them is going to have to defend one of James Harden, Paul George, or Kawhi Leonard. Like, that's just the way these matchups are going to go. There's plenty for the Clippers to come out here and exploit. At the very least, they deserve to be favored in this series because they have home court. Home court means a lot in the postseason. It does get ratcheted up. I think that the market's just a little too hot and heavy on Dallas. I haven't found a single person that is on my side here. So it'll be pretty fascinating to see, because you feel kind of alone on the island. But at the very least, I think the market deserves to make the Clippers the favorites for the series, and maybe it'll correct itself before we get to the series start on Sunday.
Well, it's funny. I was talking about this the other day, that the Dallas Mavericks seem to be everyone's sexy pick. No one wants to go chalk. Everyone wants to say, hey, here's my upset. And Dallas is the perfect one because they've got two stars. They ended well. Their defensive net rating the last couple months has been very good. I get it. But yes, the Dallas Mavericks, it's funny, they're everyone's sexy underdog team to win, which kind of makes them not an underdog if everyone's picking them to win.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And look, they are favorites, so they there's been so much support, right, that they have flipped roles. Now, I do think some of that is the thought of that Kawhi Leonard was not going to be healthy. Now we know he is at least going to be available for the start of the series, so that's obviously a positive, and maybe we'll start to see this move in that direction. But regardless of that, you know, to your overall point, everybody that I've spoken to, everybody that has brought this up, and I'm not exaggerating when I say everybody, I have not talked to a single person that has told me that they would agree with the sentiment that the Clippers are being undervalued or that they can win this series. And it's funny because, you know, I keep likening it, I keep calling it like some Mandela effect.
Yeah.
You know, there's this Mandela effect when it comes to this series where people think that Luka Doncic owns the Clippers, that this has been overwhelmingly in favor of Dallas. Luka Doncic has a losing record against the Clippers. Luka Doncic is 0-2 in the postseason against the Clippers in terms of series. This team has beat them twice. Kawhi Leonard has absolutely demolished Dallas in two playoff series against them, one in the bubble and then, of course, one 2 years ago. So it's not like that this is one where the Clippers haven't had anything for them. No, the Clippers have actually been on the right side of this over the last 3 years. So I'm very curious to see you know, when that plays out, how that's going to look. Because you expect Kawhi is going to be on Luka. You expect that they're going to throw Paul George at him as well. It's going to be a fascinating series. But again, at the end of the day, I think just from a number standpoint, the Clippers are being undervalued. They deserve to be favored in the series if Kawhi is going to be available in game one, which he is.
Jonathan, before we let you go, there was a little tidbit there about NFL draft bets. Anything out there you would recommend for our listeners? The draft is a week away. Is there anything that you really like that you think people should hop on?
Yeah, I think it's the one that I mentioned. You know, there's a reason why I bet that, you know, we've had the NFL draft betting for the last 7 years. This will be the eighth year that we have it. In the last 7 years, for total quarterbacks in the first round prop has gone under six of the 7 years. The 1 year that it went over, if you bet it right, you actually got a five and you pushed. So if you played it right, you're talking about 6-0-1 to the under in the years that we've had the NFL draft betting for the quarterbacks in the first round. We really overvalue where these guys go all the time. We have example after example, whether it's Will Levis, Hendon Hooker, Malik Willis. You know, we can go on and on down the list of guys who were told, hey, we're going to be first-round picks. Hey, these guys are in the top 10. Hey, Will Levis, he could go four to the Indianapolis Colts, and they actually end up going in the second and third round because we're quarterback hungry. I think it's the same thing here. You know, you could talk about guys like J.J. McCarthy solidly being in the first round. I'll give you that. But I don't think Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. are going to be first-round picks that you could bet under 4.5 at a good plus price and get out of there with a winner. So that's the one I would recommend at the top.
Nice. Jonathan, people want to hear you. They want to see you. Where do they go?
At me, JVT, up on social media. In all platforms, I've got the same handle. And also, I'm a host of VSiN Primetime. You can check us out, 6 to 9 Eastern on VSiN or on YouTube TV.
I like how you did the math there from Pacific time to Eastern time.
Yeah,
I appreciated the quick math you did. Hey, Jonathan, always appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining the show. And you know, enjoy the night off, unless you're betting Minnesota Wild, Seattle Kraken. And if you are, that seems weird, but I would take the under for Kraken goals tonight. And we'll chat with you soon.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Take care. That is Jonathan Van Tobel from VSiN.